Okay, so we one more little piece before the two dots, and then I want to go past the two dots over here on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So right before the two dots on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Avo, Ari Miklat Lo Nitnu L'Kvura. You're not allowed to bury someone in near Miklat. How do I know? D'chsiv, because the pasuk says when it describes the function of near Miklat, U'migrusheyem Yul V'hemtom L'Ruchusham U'l'chal Chayasam, that the Ari Miklat are there for all your life's needs. Meaning, it's there for life, it's not there l'kvura, it's not there for death. So you're not allowed to bury anyone in an ir miklat. That's the halacha that the Gemara tells us, that you can't bury someone in an ir miklat. So ask the Gemara, Meisvei, but what do we do about the fact that we just darshined earlier in the Mishnah, Shama, Shamte diraso, Shamte misaso, Shamte kvuraso, that you have a person who goes to near Miklat, he's got to stay in near Miklat. For how long? Forever. That should be where he lives, that should be where he dies, that should be where he's buried. When does he stay there forever? If the Kohen Gadol doesn't die, or if there was no Kohen Gadol at the time that he became chayiv to go to the near Miklat, so there's no Kohen Gadol, so he's got to stay there forever. But Shamtei Kfuraso, he gets buried in the near Miklat. What's that about? Answers Gemara, Rotzeach Shaini Degali Berachmana. It's different for a Rotzeach, because the Torah specifically tells us about a Rotzeach that he's supposed to be in near Miklat, so a Rotzeach is different. A Rotzeach has to be in near Miklat and can be buried in near Miklat, but regular people cannot be buried in near Miklat. So I ask you to take a look at the Sfas Emes in source number 7. Sfas Emes has a Ha'ara, meaning a biur of this Gemara, and then a Suffolk that he raises. And I was intrigued by the Suffolk, but let's see the biur of the Gemara first. Sfas Emes writes that we say that the Rotzeach is allowed to be buried in near Miklat, that which we say that when the Kohen Gadol dies, we bring the bones of the Rotzeach back to his ancestral burial plot. Pirush ki chiyuv la'asos came. One could have learned Afir Alvim Beis, where it says that when the Kohen Gadol dies, you take the bones of the Rotzeach and bring them back to his ancestral burial plot, as he's allowed to do that. Even though the Rotzeach is mechuyev to be buried in the Ir Miklat, will allow, once the Kohen Gadol dies, for that punishment to be over and to bring the bones back to the ancestral burial plot. Says the Sfas Emes, but in light of this Gemara, it's not just a heter, it's a chiyuv. You must move the bones back to the ancestral burial plot. Mitam za'atzmo, ki l'chaim nitnu v'lo l'kvura. Because there is an iser. There's an iser of having people buried in an ir miklat. Elamai, so long as he's still a rotzeach, the gzeres hakasav allows him to be buried there. But as soon as the shame rotzeach leaves him, he's now no longer allowed to be buried there, just like no one else is allowed to be buried there. Achein rotzeach golikra. Once the Kohen Gadol dies, you know what happens to the Rotzeach? We stop calling him a Rotzeach. He goes back to being just a regular guy. And if he's just a regular guy, he's not allowed to be buried in an ir miklat. You're not allowed to leave him in an ir miklat, because there is no kvura in an ir miklat. That's because he's just a regular person. Now, one could have taken issue with this Sfas Emes, with this comment of the Sfas Emes, on a couple of levels. Again, what's Sfas Emes being mechadesh? That when we said earlier that you're allowed to move the bones of the Rotzeach after the Misas Kohen Gadol, Sfas Emes is saying, not that you're allowed to, that you must move the bones of the Rotzeach after the Mises Kohen Gadol. Why must you? Because now he's just a regular guy, and as someone who's just a regular guy, because he already got his kapara, he's just a regular guy, so there's no heter to leave him buried in the ir miklat. So the two issues, I would say, with this Sfas Emes, or the two logical arguments you might be able to make against Sfas Emes, is that maybe you could say, first of all, maybe as follows. Maybe you could say, it's true that once the Kohen Gadol dies, the Rotzeach is allowed out of an ir miklat. Does that mean he loses a shame Rotzeach? Does that mean that he's no longer called a Rotzeach? He's not shayich to the ir miklat at all? Is he just like everybody else now after the Kohen Gadol dies? Or would we say, no, he got enough of a kapara that the Goel Adam is no longer allowed to kill him. So it's now safe for him to leave the Eir Miklat. But he's still a Rotzeach. The rest of his life, he's still walking around with the fact that he's a Rotzeach b'shogeg. Right? It's not that he becomes just like everybody else. It's just that he no longer needs the protection of the Eir Miklat because the Goel Adam no longer has a heter to kill him. One could have argued, Fasemis is clearly understanding, you know, once Kohen Gadol dies, he's not a Rotzeach at all. He loses Shem Rotzeach entirely. So if he loses Shem Rotzeach entirely, he's just like everybody else. Just like everybody else, he's not allowed to be buried near Miklat, he's not allowed to be buried near Miklat either. It certainly makes sense, but it's not, I'm just suggesting, maybe that's not so mukhrach. One could argue that he loses the need for the Eir Miklat, because now the Goel Adam can no longer kill him, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he loses the Shem Rotzeach. And maybe a Rotzeach always has that connection to a Eir Miklat, where he's allowed to be buried in Eir Miklat. When it's Gali Krad that a Rotzeach, meaning it could be that once the Torah is Megala, that a Rotzeach is allowed to be buried in Eir Miklat, the assumption is that the Rotzeach can be buried forever in the Eir Miklat. And not that you have to move him. Also, what's the Isser of burial in an Eir Miklat? How would you formulate the Isser? You're not allowed to do what? You're not allowed to... How would you formulate burial in Eir Miklat? The Isser this Gemara is talking about. What does it say? Lo nitnu l'kvura. What does that mean, lo nitnu l'kvura? L'chayim v'lo l'kvura. It's given for life, but not for burial. What does that mean? You are not allowed to. How would you say? You're not allowed to bury someone in Eir Miklat. Is it that you're not allowed to do the act of burying someone in an Eir Miklat? Or you're not allowed to have someone be buried in an Eir Miklat? Leave someone buried in Eir Miklat. Let's say you have a situation where a person was buried by some natural disaster. Earthquake, you know, ground opened up and his body was buried. No one did a Maisa Kavura. Is it L'chaim Nitin V'lo L'Kavura, meaning that what the Eir Miklat is supposed to actively do is provide chayim, but it's not supposed to. We're not supposed to actively provide kvura. Or is it a din that it's somehow considered either a bizayon or inappropriate for the Eir Miklat to have dead bodies buried therein? Now, Sfasem is clearly assuming that kvura in Eir Miklat doesn't just mean it's an issur to do the maisa kvura in Eir Miklat, but you can't have bodies there. You can't leave dead bodies buried in Eir Miklat. And that's why, once the Kohen Gadol dies, you let him out. One could have argued, L'chaim nitnu v'lo l'kvura means you're not allowed to do kvura. Kvura is the act of burial. But maybe someone who's already nikbar, there's no requirement to take him out. Yeah? Yeah, but like, I mean, let's say there was a flood and the body washed up somewhere in some random place. Would you say not to bury it because God put him there? Just because God put him there. Maybe that in our mitzvah is...
If it washed up and it's not buried.
Yeah, maybe we should dig it up. Meaning our mitzvah is to do what...
How would you know where it went?
Let's assume you know. So, for argument's sake. You go around with a body detector or something. I don't know. You find out you saw it. Something. I don't know. You assume you know. Now... So that's the Sfasemis' Chiddush. That once the Kohen Gadol dies, you have to, it's a Chiyuv, to take the bones out. Now, what would be, given that you could have easily argued, each of these arguments, you could have easily argued that there's no Chiyuv, what would be Machriach, the Sfasemis, to say that it becomes a Chiyuv to remove the bones? It becomes a Chiyuv to remove the bones. And let's put it this way. Let's say it's not Kivrei Avosav. Let's say he doesn't have kivrei avos. He's a ger. There's no kivrei avos. Would you have to move the bones then? Would you be allowed to move the bones then? So typically speaking, are you allowed to do likur atzamos? Are you allowed to move a body from one place to another? So you just want to move a body. You don't like the cemetery that your relative is buried in. So the halacha is either Eretz Yisrael, Shulchan Aruch says, Eretz Yisrael or kivrei avos. Those are the only cases where you're allowed to move a body. to bring him to Eretz Yisrael, to bring him to Kivrei Avos. So if you're moving a body to bring the body to Kivrei Avos, the Gemara in Mishnah said in Daf Yiral, the Gemara said in Daf Yiral from Bay, is that you're allowed to move the body to bring to Kivrei Avos. And Sfasem is saying, you're chayiv to do that because you can't leave the body here. Well, according to Sfasem, if there are no Kivrei Avos, you would still have to move the body. Meaning, just like to move to Eretz Yisrael is for Dvar Mitzvah, it's going up in the world. And to move to Kivrei Avos is also considered a Dvar Mitzvah on some level. Well, to leave it buried in a place where it's not allowed to be buried, you can't leave it there. So you're allowed to move it to wherever. Kivrei Avos would be Lavdavka. It's just that once you're moving it, the most natural place to move it to would be Kivrei Avos. But if you say not like the Sfas Emes, you say, that's not a chiyuv to move it. It's a heter. That you're allowed to move the body once the Kohen Gadol dies. Well, that would only be the same heter of moving anybody. Meaning, up until the Kohen Gadol dies, he must remain in the Eir Miklat. Forget Kivrei Avos. Forget Eretz Yisrael, anyway. But if forget about Kivrei Avos, he's got to stay. He's got to stay there. Once the Kohen Gadol dies, so what happens? So you could argue that now he has a rule of a regular Jewish body, buried anywhere. Where for Kivrei Avos, you're allowed to move him. For anything else, you're not allowed to move him. So Sfasemis is really teaching us a very big chiddush. Because not only is he saying that when there are Kivrei Avos, it becomes a chiyuv to move him. What he's really saying is when there are no Kivrei Avos, it's also a chiyuv to move him. As long as the Kohen Gadol dies, he needs to get out of there. Because the Isser is to have a body be nikbar in a near miklat. Whereas the Pashat reading, Pashat understanding that the Sfas Emes is, and no, once the Kohen Gadol dies, you have a heter to move him like you would move any other body, which would mean only to Kivrei Avos. But if it's not to Kivrei Avos, you got to leave him there. Now the suffix the Sfas Emes raises, in the last line, v'yesh l'stapik b'meis mitzvah dekona mekomo, igamba ari miklat kona, o d'gzeres ha'kasav d'l'chaim nit v'lo l'kvur b'cholov and shiyeh. There is a halacha. If you find a meis mitzvah, you have to bury him where you found him. So halacha meis mitzvah kona mekomo. You bury a meis mitzvah on the spot. What if you find a meis mitzvah in an ir miklat? So now, even if we assume that the isser is an isser of doing the burial, and not just of being buried, would the Isser apply now? Would the Isser apply to a Meis Mitzvah? Because after all, Meis Mitzvah is Kona Mekomo. So here you have a conflict. You have on the one hand, the idea that Meis Mitzvah, they have a requirement to bury the Meis Mitzvah where he is, and on the other hand, the Isser of L'chaim Nitnu V'lo L'Kvuri, you're not allowed to use the Ir Miklat for Kvura. So what are you taina? So Hashemus doesn't answer. Tzoruch Iyun, he says. How would you go about analyzing this suffix of the Sfas Emes? The one thing you have to figure out is, why is it that a Meis Mitzvah is Kona Mekomo? What is it about the Makom where a Meis Mitzvah is that he's Kona Mekomo? Rashi, Maseches Baba Kama Daf Pei Aleph, where the Gemara mentions Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekomo, Rashi seems to understand. Take a specific angle on it, where he looks at it from a Dine Mamonis perspective. He says, what's Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekomo? The context over there in Bava Kama is we're going through the various conditions that Yeshua made to inhabiting Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, everyone's going to get their chelek, everyone's going to get their land, everyone's going to get a portion, but you should know when you get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, there are certain rules and regulations. It's not entirely yours. A melech wants to pass through, he's allowed to be pore to make a derech through your field. You know, there are all sorts of conditions that are attached. One of the conditions is that if a meis mitzvah is found in your field, you have to allow him to be buried there. Kona mekomo. That it's a dinin mamonis. That your ownership of the field is limited in that you have to allow a meis mitzvah to be there. Now, there is a discussion in Poskim, in Achronim. Let's say you have a Meis Mitzvah who also has Kivrei Avos. And you can identify who the Meis Mitzvah is. It's just that there's no one to bury him because he doesn't have any family. They're all dead. And they're all buried. In the same place. They're all buried in Kivrei Avos. So what's the halacha? Is meis mitzvah kona mekomo, even when there's Kivrei Avos? But you say no, meis mitzvah is not kona mekomo even when there's Kivrei Avos. Chalkas Yaakov in Yerdeas and Kufzad Yivavos Ches writes, Dover Pashut, that a meis mitzvah is kona mekomo even if there's Kivrei Avos. Leave him where he is. Kona mekomo even if there's Kivrei Avos. Whereas the Minchas Yitzchak, Michael Gvav Simon Kuf Lamed Zayin, says that a meis mitzvah is considered kikavur. He's considered as if he's already buried. That's what kona mekomo means. That we view him as if his burial was done already. And what's the halacha if someone is already buried and there's kivrei avos? Are you allowed to move him? Halacha is yes, you're allowed to move him. So Minchas Yitzchak says if he has a din kikavur, as if he's already buried, so then there's no problem with moving him. Even though meis mitzvah kona mekomo just means that we view him as if he's already buried there. But you're then allowed to move him. So it seems to me is that the Achronim are debating what the nature of meis mitzvah kona mekomo is. What the nature of the halacha that you bury a meis mitzvah on the spot is. Is it an isser of pinoy a kever? An isser of likrat samos? An isser of moving a kever? Because it's considered ki'ilu hu kavur, as if he's already buried. But there's no real active mitzvah kvura that you have to bury him there. It's just that you have an isser to move him because it's ki'ilu, he's already buried there. Or do we assume that no, even if there's kivrei avos, he has to stay there. Because this is the place that's shayach to him. This is the place where he belongs. This is the place where he needs to be. And that overrides kivrei avos. That overrides any other place that you might deem appropriate for him. This becomes appropriate for him. Now, if you say that it's just a din of ki'ilu, he's kavur already, it's as if he's buried. So what would the halacha be about a meis mitzvah that's already buried? About a meis, forget about a meis mitzvah, a meis that's already buried in an ir miklat, do we move that meis out of the ir miklat? Well, Sfasema said, absolutely. Sfasema says, the second a rotzeach becomes a regular person, right? The second he gets his kapar, the Kohen Gadol dies. Get him out of there! Someone who's kavur in an ir miklat, get him out! So according to the Sfasema, if the geder of meis mitzvah kona mekomo is that it's ki'ilu hu kavur, it's as if he's already buried, well then if a meis mitzvah is in an ir miklat, get him out of there! Now, according to what we argued on the Sfas Emes, we suggested that maybe there's room to logically argue on the Sfas Emes and say, no, the isser of burial in an ir miklat is to do a maisa kvura, to bury somebody in an ir miklat. The isser is not to have a mace be in the ground in an ir miklat, it's to do the actual act of burial in the ir miklat. Because we're supposed to be involved in life-type things in an ir miklat. L'chayim nitnu v'lo l'kvura. We shouldn't be involved in death-type activities in an ir miklat, like kvura. Well, guess what? The meis mitzvah is already kavur. He's already nikbar. And therefore, there's no isser of burying him further. Can you pile dirt on top of an already... buried kever? Yes, so you can bury the meis mitzvah also. He's already buried. It's kilu nikbar. If you say not like the Sfas Emes. So again, if you're going to say that the geder of meis mitzvah kona mekomo is that we view him as if he's already kavur, we view him as if he's already buried. So Sfas Emes l'shitaso should have to say, get him out if a meis mitzvah dies in near miklat. It's found in near miklat. But if you want to say like we said, no, maybe it's only a din in the Maisa Kavura, it's not a din in being Nikbar. And maybe you should leave him there, not get him out. What if you say that the Geder of Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekomo is not, it's Ki'ilu Hu Nikbar, it's a different Geder. The Geder of Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekomo is that just like we have a requirement, we have a Maila, let's not even call it a requirement, for a person to be buried b'kivrei avos. And there's a maila for a person to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because those are the best places for a person. Meis mitzvah kona makomo is a maila that place has a special skula for him to be buried there. That's the greatest maila. So much so, zokt Rashi baba kama daf pei alif. If a guy says, it's my field, I don't want a dead body in my field, sorry, his zuchus to be allowed to be buried here overrides your zuchus in the dinim amnus of your field. Your ownership, your bailus of your field. Because he has such a mile. It's not an isser. It's not an isser of pinoy a kever, of removing a kever, undigging someone. No, he has a zuchus. It's like kivrei avos. It's like burial in Eretz Yisrael. He has a zuchus that he's allowed to be there. Then, if that's the case, that zuchus might override, one could argue, might override the idea that a ir miklat is l'chaim nitnevelo l'kvura. Just like it overrides an individual's bailus of his field. I own my field, I don't want your dead body in my field. But he has a zuchus to be there. What is that zuchus? Why would it be a zuchus to be on the spot? To be buried on the spot where the Meis Mitzvah is found? What does that even mean? Why is that a zuchus? So it could be the presence in this random location is the ultimate kapara for him up in Shemayim. That look, he never got to have a normal death and burial. And the fact that he never got a normal death and burial is Yisurin. Those Yisurin are a kapara for him. So he gets the zchus of having that reminder and that kapara forever. And we're therefore not allowed to move it. So it could be this suffix of the Sfas Emes is talui in some way on the machlokas achronim of whether in Meis Mitzvah's kona makomo, even when there is kivrei avos. Because that machlokas achronim, whether in Meis Mitzvah's kona makomo, even when there is kivrei avos, is really totally on the geder of the din of Meis Mitzvah kona makomo. Is it that he's dino kinikbar? We view him as if he's buried already? Or no? It's not dino kinikbar where there's an isser of pinoy akever. There's an isser to move him. No, it's a zuchus, it's a maila and a mitzvah to give him the best possible burial, and the best possible burial for him is on that spot. It's not an iser b'davar to move him. Now if you say dino k'nikbar like we said, you could debate whether he would stay in an ir miklat or not, depending whether you say like Sfas Emes or not. And if you say that it's a din, that he has a zuchus in that makom, you could also debate. You could say that zuchus overrides any normal role that an ir miklat would typically play. But any questions, any thoughts on that Sfas Emes? You guys, yeah? That who gets buried? The Meis Mitzvah? That will say the Gemara darshens from a pasuk. Asher nas shama, the Mishnah darshens from a pasuk in Aleph and Beis. Asher nas shama, shamtei diraso, shamtei misaso, shamtei kvuraso. From the word shama, we darshen. So that doesn't, I don't know if there. The other pasuk comes to say, but if you're not a rotzeach, then there's an isser of kvur. Maybe the Gemara asks the stira. We have one pasuk that says that the rotzeach gets buried in the ir miklat. We have another pasuk that says no one's allowed to get buried in the ir miklat. The answer is not nobody. A rotzeach is allowed to get buried in the ir miklat because he has a chiyuv to be buried in the ir miklat. Shem take v'rasa. But other people are not allowed to be buried in the ir miklat. The Gemara is not saying that Sfas Emes was mechadesh that. That was all the chiddush of the Sfas Emes. That if the Kohen Gadol dies, we need to get him out. The Gemara had said that we're allowed to get him out. That once the Kohen Gadol dies, you're allowed to take him out. Where is that? What? Yeah, the rotzeach. And once the kohen gadol dies, then we take him out and we bring him to kivrei avos. Yeah. Yeah, meis kodim shemeis kohen gadol molichan atzmos of al kivrei avos. The Gemara said 7 lines before the end of the page in Yeralvim Beis. That if he dies before the Kohen Gadol dies, so we bury him in the Er Mikla, but then we bring him to Kivrei Avos afterwards. So the Sfasemus is Mechadesh, not that it's mutter to bring him to Kivrei Avos afterwards, but that it's Mechuyiv to bring him to Kivrei Avos afterwards. Because now he becomes just like a regular God. And there's an Isser to leave him buried there. I just wanted to suggest, maybe there's not an Isser to leave him buried there. Maybe it's that you don't have to leave him buried there because there's no longer a mila for him to be there, so you're allowed to bring him to Kivrei Avos. Because if the Sfasemus were correct, it shouldn't have said Malichan Atzmos of the Kivrei Avos. What should it say? Get him out! Not the Kivrei Avos. I don't care where you take him. Get him out of there. He's not allowed to stay there. And not only that, the Gemara darshan from Pasuk, Yashuv Arotzeach El Eretz Achuzaso. Ezu yeshiva shibaretz achuzasa aviomer zukvura. Achuzasa sounds kivrei avos. We're bringing him to kivrei avos dafka. According to Sosemis, it shouldn't be kivrei avos dafka. It should be anywhere. He's not allowed to be there. So, I don't know. I thought Sosemis was a very big chiddush. I thought it was a very big chiddush. Okay, that's Sosemis. Now let's take a look at the next gemara. So says gemara vayter after the two datsim. K'shem she'ir koletas. So he said, not only is the city kolate, the whole tchum of the city is kolate. We'll protect the rotech. Or aminu v'yashav ba, ba v'lo b'tchuma. But doesn't the pasuk say, v'yashav ba, that you could live in the city, but not in the tchum of the city. So apparently it doesn't protect. Am rabbi lo kasha, kan liklot kan ladur. It protects, the whole tchum of the city protects. You're just not allowed to live there. Ladur, typically, Daniel said, the migrash, lo migrash, sadu, lo migrash, yir, lo yir migrash. Well, you're not allowed to live in the area surrounding the Ariel Leviim anyway. You have to leave those areas open. What if you want to live in a cave underground in the area that's outside of the city but within the tchum of the city? Okay, so now you're not closing off the open area because you're underground, but still it's lekluta nitna but not ledira. You're not allowed to live in that area. The Rotzeach has to live. Other people are allowed to live in the cave underground because they're not taking away from the beauty of the city and having the open area around it. But the Rotzeach is not allowed to live in that spot. He is protected, but he's not allowed to live in that spot. How do you understand that? What does that mean? What's the point of an Isser of living in that spot if he's protected anyway? No? Meaning, why does Rotzeach go to Nir Miklat? So that he won't get killed by the Goel Adar. You tell him, you go into the Tchum of the city, you won't get killed. So, why shouldn't he live there then, in the Tchum? The Goel Adar can't kill him. So there are two ways you could take this. Maybe more, but I could think of two. One way you could take this is, when is he protected by the Tchum of the city? So long as if he doesn't live there. But once he takes up residence in the tchum of the city, now the Goel Adam is allowed to kill him. That it's not that the Goel Adam is not allowed to kill him in the city or its tchum ever, that it's all part of the no-killing zone. The city itself is always a no-killing zone for the Goel Adam. The tchum of the city, it depends how he's using it. If he's using the tchum of the city stam to take a spatzir, then the Goel Adam can't touch him. But once he uses the tchum of the city to live in the city, to live in, then the Goel Adam is now allowed to kill him. Goel Adam would be mutter to kill him. That would be a very great chiddush to say something like that. I didn't think that was the pshat. So what's the pshat? What does it mean? He's not allowed to live there, but the Goel Adam can't kill him. How do you have such a dichotomy? Good word? Yeah, pretty good. How do you have such a thing that he's not allowed to live there, but the Goel Adam is not allowed to kill him? So I think what emerges from all these sugyas about Yer Miklat and Goel Adam, Achronim talk about a lot, is that what is the purpose of an Yer Miklat? Let's take the guy who's buried in the Yer Miklat as a mashal. The guy died already. and he's buried in a near mikveh. Why is he staying there? He's already, the Gol Adam's not going to kill him anymore. It's too late. He can't kill him anymore. He's dead. So why is he staying there? Because there's Tzvei Dinim in a near mikveh. There's a din of protection, that it offers a person protection. But then there's another din. What's the other din? How would you define it? Kapara. That the Eir Mikla provides him with kapara. The tchum of the city offers the din of protection but doesn't offer kapara. So the Gol Adam is never allowed to kill him in the tchum, but he's not allowed to live there because it's not going to be a kapara to live there. His kapara is only the Eir Atzma, the city itself, not outside of the city. And it's in his best interest, therefore, it's in his best interest not to be in the tchum. Question is, what if you have a person who says, I don't need the kapara, I'm fine, I'll suffer in Gehenna. Is he allowed to do that? Let's say a guy kills B'shogeg and says, listen, I live in Beverly Hills. I am not moving to some Eir Miklat in Jordan, you know, Avery Yarden or whatever. There's no way. Forget about it. I'll take my chances. I have security guards living in Beverly Hills. You tell me I need a kapara, my bathing and my millions of dollars will be worthwhile for whatever I'm going to face in the Olam HaEmes. No, I'm totally fine. I'm here for this world. I'm not here for the next world. I'll tell you what you could do with your kapara. I'm fine. I'm fine here in Beverly Hills. Is that okay? See, it's my kapara. I'm the bailam of my own kapara. So it seems that there's a third din in Eir Miklat as well. There's a din protection, a din kapara. There's a third din. What would the third din be? Din onesh. He's got to be punished for his crime. Part of his punishment for his crime is he got to do this. You must do this for your kapara. You're not allowed to forego your kapara. Sometimes you're allowed to forego kapara. Yisurin. He used to say people doing tshuva, tshuvas hamishkal, they would roll around in the snow naked or something and suffer those yisurin and indignities, and it should be a kapara. And what if you don't want to roll around in the snow naked? So you don't have to, so you won't get that kapara. But this is a kapara that you have to get. It's an onesh. It's an onesh. A person does an aver that normally chayiv karis for, if you do b'mezim, he does it b'shogeg. What's the halacha? If he wants, he brings a korban chatas. He has to bring a korban chatas. Chayiv chatas. Anyway, what if he says, I don't want the kapara. I don't believe it. I'm not interested in it. It's too bad. It doesn't matter if you want the kapara. Yes, the korban is kapara, but it's also an onesh. That you have to pay the money, suffer the indignity of bringing a karban that everyone knows is for an avera. All that. It's all part of the onesh. So there are really three dinim in Eir Miklat. But as far as the tchum of the city, it's not, it does provide protection, but maybe doesn't provide kapara, or maybe doesn't provide onesh, or doesn't provide kapara or onesh. Yeah? You had a question before? Yeah, okay. Good. So that's all I got in that little piece. Any other horrors? No? Good. Let's go fight. So, yeah.
Does anyone actually say explicitly that Eir Miklat is
Orange? Yeah, I don't know if it's explicit in Rishonim, but I think it's. What's the raya that it's an Onesh? And a person can't say I'm not go. We make him go.
Meaning even if he denies, meaning we force him to go? Or like we
So that, you know what, I don't think there's a Gemara. I don't think the Gemara says explicitly that you force him to go. That he has to go. But it sounds from the Pesukim that he has to go. It's been Nas Sham, has to run there. Din of Onesh, what do you mean?
He's
telling on whether it's a Rishus or a Mitzvah for the Goel Adam. Let's say there's no Goel Adam. Does he still go to an Eir Miklat? think we say yes. Right? Because I think he still needs the kapara and the onesh of the Yom Mikvah.
Also, you think most times it isn't a person who wants to kill the first place.
Right, it was an accident.
Yeah, so you think so.
Right, right, or the goal, right, but it's still taking a chance. You know, the goal down might just wake up in a bad mood one day, you know, and change his mind. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. Rotzeach shiotzach chutz l'tchum, tan rabbanim, rotzeach gol adam is a rotzeach, mitzvah biyad gol adam, ein lo gol adam, rishos biyad kol adam. It's a mitzvah for the gol adam. If there is no gol adam, then anyone else is allowed to do it. It's not a mitzvah for the Gol Adam to do it. It's a reshus for the Gol Adam. But everyone else is going to be chayiv if they kill him. My time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why does Rabbi Yossi Aglili think it's a mitzvah for the Gol Adam? Miksiv imratzach. It doesn't say imratzach. It says you should kill him. Rabbi Akiva miksiv yirtzach. Rabbi Akiva will say no. Does it say you should kill him? It says viratzach. Amar Zutra Bartovia Amarav, Rotzech Shiyasu Chutzl Tchum, Mtsal Gol Adam Vahargo, Neragalav. Rotzech that goes outside of the Tchum, Gol Adam finds him, and the Gol Adam kills him, Gol Adam is Chayiv Misa. Wait a second. If the Gol Adam is either Mechuyiv to kill him or is allowed to kill him, why is he going to be Chayiv Misa if he kills him when he walks out of the city? Kiman, lo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, velo Rabbi Akiva. It seems like it's against Rabbi Yossi Aglili and against Rabbi Akiva. It says, Maru diyamar ki aitana, must assume like a third tana. Titan Rabbi Lezer omar ad omdu lefnei edel mishpat. Matam alomar, levishanem avrotzach kol adam is rotzeach, yochel miyad, you might think the gol adam kills rotzeach right away. Tam alomar ad omdu lefnei edel mishpat. That you have to wait until omdu lefnei edel mishpat. So Rabbi Lezer assumes that yes, the gol adam is allowed to kill, but not right away. He's got to wait until there's a Gemar Din. Only once there's a Gemar Din where we verify, meaning otherwise it's the Wild West. Every time someone dies, someone says, oh yeah, that's the man who killed my relative. Just killed. Let Beis Din determine that that's the man that killed your relative. Let them make a Gemar Din and they'll say, okay, he's a Horig B'Shogeg. And now you're allowed to kill him. Before that, you're not allowed to kill him. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Kiva, hi, Adam, Dufnei, Adil, Mishmai, Dar, Shibay. That if a Sanhedrin witnesses a murder, they can't be the one to adjudicate that murder, to convict that murderer. They have to go to a different Beis Din. A couple of things over here. First of all, ein lo goel adam. If a guy doesn't have a Goal Adam, what does it mean a guy doesn't have a Goal Adam? How does one not have a Goal Adam? Meaning, how do we define what a Goal Adam is? Which Krovim are considered to be Krovim that are close enough to be a Goal Adam? Now, if you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Ritzeach Perek Al V'Alacha Beis, source number 10, Mitzvah Biad Gol Adam Hu Yomis Asur Ritzeach, V'Kol Aroy LiYerusha Hu Gol Adam. So what's the definition of Gol Adam? Roy LiYerusha. Lo Rotza Gol Adam, O Shalo Haya Yochala Miso, O She'en Lo Gol Adam, Beizim Mimisin Asur Ritzeach B'Sayach. Now he's talking about someone who killed Bemezid, right? That if the Gol Adam doesn't want to take him out, so Bezin will kill him. But over here, the Rambam, that's why he gives all those different options. Either Gol Adam doesn't want, or he's not able to, or there is no Gol Adam. When it comes to killing Beshogeg, it's only if it's Ein Lo Gol Adam that the Brice has said that Rishus Biad Kol Adam. But he defines it as anyone who's Israeli Yerusha. So how far does that go? How close a relative is considered royal Yerusha? What does Rambam mean over here? No, man dies. Who yarshins him? His children. Doesn't have any children. Wife. Doesn't have a wife. Brothers. Doesn't have any brothers. Parents. Doesn't have any parents. So nobody. He has first cousins. He has an uncle. So uncle. Good. Doesn't have any uncles. First cousins doesn't have those either. Second cousins? Would you go second cousins? What would you say? New what? Oh, what about a third cousin? What the Rambam is saying is, now the laws of Yerusha are that everyone has a Yoresh, except for a ger that dies without ever having gotten married, having children. He's the only one that doesn't have a Yoresh, and his nechasim are hefker. Yeah? No. It goes hefker, I think. So everyone has Yoreshim. So what was our Gemara talking about? What did we say? It said, Ein lo goel. He doesn't have any goel. Then Rishus biad kol adam. How do you pull off such a trick to not have a goel adam? Everyone's got a goel adam. It's royally Yerusha is goel adam. So the simple explanation is, well, there is one guy that doesn't have Yorshim. That's a ger. His neighbor's talking about a ger that's harag b'shogeg. That's what we say, Rishus biad kol adam. That's quite a chiddush. That it's only talking about a ger? That's what it means. Ain't no gold, it's just only in the case of a ger. Now, this Rambam was talking about someone who killed Bemezid. But the Rambam didn't just give an example of Ain't no goel. What did the Rambam say? Three things. If Ain't no goel, or the goel Adam doesn't have the ability to kill, he's in a coma, he can't kill, or the goel Adam doesn't want to kill, nice yeshiva bachur, what does he want to get involved in murdering people? It's not his thing. Not interested in killing. Then the Beis Din would take a horig b'mezid into, and take care of it. Maybe by the horig b'shogeg, ein lo goel doesn't just mean he doesn't have a goel. Maybe it means he doesn't have a goel who's going to do it. See, the goel adam has a mitzvah to do it. But let's say he's not going to. He has a goel, but the goel is in a coma. Goel's a woman. And she says, ew, gross, I don't want to deal with blood. Is a woman allowed to be goel adam? What? You would think no. Why? Does it say ish beferish in the pasuk? Ain leish goel means the victim. But lechora that also is not an ish. It could be an isha also, right? If the victim was female or a katan, Gemara discusses, I think. But can a woman be goel? Pashas, she can be. It's a discussion. There's a medrash or something that a woman is not allowed to use weapons. How does she take out Sisera? With the peg of the tent. Why? What an unusual way to take him out. Why not just take a gun and shoot him? Take a knife and stab him. The peg of the tent? So that's why he's Chever Akeni, who was a Bedouin. So he was a tent maker. That's what they knew how to use. They were good at using those kinds of things. But the Medrash says, no, she couldn't use a weapon because a woman's not allowed to use a weapon. It's Klei Gever. The woman's not allowed to use. Santa Pashtas. Right? All the Mepharshim say, no, why did she do it? The way the Pesukim sound like is because she was afraid if he wakes up last minute and he sees her with a knife like this, he's gonna realize what she's doing. But if he sees her with a tent peg, he'll say, okay, so she's moving the tent or something. He's not going to realize that she's... Or maybe she's more comfortable with the tent peg because that's what she did all the time. Ramesh has a tshuva like that. Ramesh has a tshuva to his granddaughter, to his granddaughter-in-law. His granddaughter, of Shabtai Rappaport's wife. And they live in Yehuda v'Shomron somewhere. So she wanted to know if she can carry a gun for security. And I just thought, we don't paskin that it's a problem. We thought that it was okay. Pashtas, a woman can be called on. Okay, but that's, tomorrow we'll at least... maybe we'll finish all this stuff up tomorrow, this last sugya, and then next week we'll get started on Kavod of a grandparent, which comes up right before the Mishnah.